Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going
to
get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Tuesday, June 27th, 2017. Thanks for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. What's going on today's Current Sports, you ask? Well, we will talk about last night's inaugural NBA Awards in New York City. How entertaining was that, right? Oh, boy. Congratulations to Agent Zero, Russell Westbrook, for taking home the league's most valuable player award. We have been debating this for quite some time, and the debate finally came to an end last night. Very cool event. Also, big shout out to Draymond Green, who is now the league's DPOY. So we'll chat about the NBA awards last night, and we'll push through whether or not we had any problems with any of the awards that were handed out, and we'll talk about our favorite moments. Also, shout out to Drake, who I thought did an incredible job as host of those awards last night. Also, we will talk about the 2018 NBA draft projections for a few MSU players. Those projections are pretty high for a few names that will be balling out for Michigan State University this upcoming year at the Breslin Center. And it is truly going to be an honor to welcome to the show one of our dear friends who will be honored by Michigan State Athletics in September. He will be inducted into the Michigan State Athletics Hall of Fame in September. He is a two-time All-American fullback for the championship-winning 1965-66 Michigan State University football team. Folks, you know who I'm talking about, Mr. Bob Apiza. Will join us via phone to chat about that honor. He will also weigh in on the state of MSU football today, coming off a 3-9 year in an offseason that has been riddled with distractions and sexual assault charges. Bob will weigh in on all of that and more. Trust me, you do not want to miss that interview. And on the back end of the show, we'll talk about the annual list of the NFL's top 100 players as voted on by the players. And get this, there is only one Detroit Lions player on that list. And I pretty much, you guys can pretty much guess who that player is. And we will also try to dive into the latest rumors concerning the National Basketball Association. All of that and more. If you want to weigh in, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-WKAR. 9527. You can go to facebook.com/currentsports, where we are currently live streaming the show, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at Al Martin, well, excuse me, at WKAR underscore sports. Two ways you can do that. A lot to get to, folks, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on all of it. But hey, you know what's first. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners.
Get down.
All right, first we want to pass this news along to you all. Michigan State University Athletics Director Mark Hollis, he announced Monday the hiring of Mike Rowe as the new head gymnastics coach effective July 1st, 2017. Rowe, a Spartan graduate who has spent the last three seasons as assistant coach, he was named interim head coach back in February, and now that will be a full-time gig as head coach. Hollis also announced that Nicole Curler has been promoted to associate head coach. So again, Mike Rowe replacing Kathy Klagas of the MSU women's gymnastics team. Scott Weatherby, who just recently served as a senior associate athletic director at Mississippi State, has been named the next athletic director at Eastern Michigan University. The Kalamazoo native was approved around 10:30 a.m. today by EMU Board of Regents. EMU President James Smith will hold an introductory press conference right now, 1 p.m. So actually 6 minutes ago out in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Again, Scott Weatherby currently being officially named as the next athletic director at Eastern Michigan University. As if winning his second NBA title in 3 years wasn't enough, Draymond Green was named the Defensive Player of the Year last night at the NBA Awards out in New York City. After back-to-back runner-up finishes, Green finally took home the award last night. He is the first player in Warriors history to win the award, which began in the 82-83 season. Green played in and started 76 games during last year. In that time, he averaged 6.6 defensive rebounds per game, 2 steals, and almost 2 blocks. How about that? More on Draymond Green in just a moment. The incredible story that was Russell Westbrook's 2016-17 campaign closed its final chapter last night when Westbrook was named the NBA's most valuable player. Westbrook captured the award amidst an impressive group of players, including former teammate James Harden, along with Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James. Even with the intense and deserving competition that surrounded Westbrook, he not only won the award, he received 69 of the 101 first place votes. In an emotional acceptance speech, Westbrook thanked the Thunder for letting him compete at a high level every night. He also brought up a few of his teammates who were in attendance. And with his family in attendance, Westbrook closed his speech with them in mind. We'll get to hear from Westbrook in just a moment. We'll have more on that as well. Don't go anywhere. Former Detroit Lion and current New Orleans Saint Nick Fairley will be unable to strap up his pads for the entire upcoming NFL season. Fairley was placed on season-ending injured reserve yesterday with his career hanging in the balance. The 29-year-old defensive lineman has consulted with at least 3 specialists, according to head coach Sean Payton. At least one of the specialists suggests that he should stop playing football altogether. It is being reported as a heart issue. Don't know the specifics as to what the issue is, but it is a heart issue. Payton also said that both Fairley and the Saints were waiting on the results of a third opinion, but ultimately the team did not want to risk putting Fairley on the field this season. Wishing him well. Last night, the NFL released its list of the top 100 players. To no one's surprise, Tom Brady, the Michigan man and New England Patriot quarterback, topped the list, followed by Von Miller, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, and Khalil Mack to round out the top 5. Only one Detroit Lions player made that list, and you can pretty much guess who that is. That being Matthew Stafford, who came in at number 31. Stafford, who will be looking to cash in this offseason as the final year of his current contract approaches. He led the Lions to a 9-7 record in 2016 that culminated in a first-round loss in the playoffs to the Seattle Seahawks. What made Stafford's season as impressive as it was his 8 fourth-quarter comebacks on the way to that 9-7 record. Stafford paired that up with a 65.3 completion percentage, 4,327 total passing yards, and 24 total touchdown passes. The Detroit Tigers will return to Comerica Park today after a forgettable road trip that saw their record drop to 33-42, 7 games in back of the AL Central leading Cleveland Indians. Of course, the Tigers had the day off yesterday. It went 1-6 on that road trip. Starting at 7:10 p.m., the Tigers will welcome the Kansas City Royals down at Comerica Park in the D for a three-game set. Justin Verlander, who saw a perfect game go south in a hurry in his last start, will take the mound this evening as the Royals will counter with Matt Strom. Former Tigers closer K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez, has come to terms in a minor league deal with the Washington Nationals a week after he was released by the Tigers to a much lesser extent than what the Tigers bullpen has gone through. The Nats bullpen has struggled as well. So far this year, their collective group has 12 blown saves, a 4.88 ERA. The Nats seem to be taking caution with the signing, and deservedly so, after saving 44 games with a 3.83 ERA and 52 Ks and 58 1/3 innings of work for the Tigers. K-Rod had a 7.82 ERA and 7 saves and 25 1/3 innings this year in Detroit. Not a great year for K-Rod. And last but not least, the Grand Rapids Griffins will hoist the championship banner from the Calder Cup on opening night of the 2017-18 year. Mark this date on your calendar. That will be Friday, October 6th. The Griffins, who earlier this month defeated Syracuse Crunch in 6 games, will host a pregame ceremony when the team opens the season at home at Van Andel Arena. The banner will go up next to the franchise's first title, which took place back in 2013. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports and tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin, WKAR. Again, we've got a full plate in store for you guys. Later on this hour, our guest for today's current sports will be future MSU Athletics Hall of Famer, Bob Apiza. Trust, you don't want to miss that chat. But in the meantime, let's start the show.
Little brother, to my little brother, my road dog, you mean so much to me, man. You're my role model. You're my role model. I look up to you, man. I truly look up to you. You're amazing, blessed. I'm so happy to have you as my brother. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. A lot of you guys may not know, but my brother just got his master's 2 weeks ago. I'm so proud of him. Just not just for that, but just the man he is today, man, just for helping me, lift me up every single day. My brother, man, he texts me every single game at halftime, every game. Since I've been in the league, he texts me every game at halftime. He don't got to do that, man. He does that because he has a kind heart, and he looks out for me. Man, I love you from the bottom of my heart, brother. I promise you. I appreciate everything you do for me. Everything. Everything. And I love you, brother.
MVP.
Hey, what's wrong?
This is a really hard decision.
It's not that hard. Here, let me show you. Listen, you're looking for an MVP and don't know who to pick. Listen to me, kid. I'll show you a trick. Yeah. Just add all the box scores and the analytics. Multiply by the numbers and all the statistics. It equals zero. The answer's zero.
That's ridiculous.
Exactly. Now listen. 3.3 net rating when he on the floor. Minus 8.9 when he not there anymore. 66% usage rating in the clutch.
Dude, you need 3 players to equal that much.
2 digits times 3, that's a triple-double. Math is pretty hard. This is no trouble. All the stats lead us to a hero. Add it up and the answer's always zero. And his clutch net rating plus 29. And it equals zero.
It does?
Every time. He's breaking records. He breaking ankles. Hitting buzzer beater shots from the crazy angle. His true shooting goes up in
clutch time.
Their defense just turned into a
punchline.
Let the record.
record show. The record's been ravaged. Count them up.
42.
Hashtag savage.
2 digits times 3, that's a triple-double.
Yeah.
Math is pretty hard. This is no trouble.
Yeah.
All the stats lead us to a hero. Add it up and the answer's always 0.
Oh, 0. Like Russell Westbrook.
But 0 doesn't care what the stats add to, cause winning is all 0 ever wanted to do. 2 digits times 3, that's a triple-double.
Yeah.
Math is pretty hard, this is no trouble.
No trouble.
All the stats lead us to a hero.
Why not?
Add it up and the answer's always 0.
Oh, that's how you start a show. Congratulations to Agent Zero, Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder, folks. If you didn't see that commercial, that is actually from Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, the Jordan brand just comes up with the most creative commercials. It's an animated commercial that was aired immediately after Russell Westbrook, when it was announced that he was going to be the MVP, and after he had his speech, that's the commercial that ran. And it's absolutely genius. Love it. It's catchy. It's got a great tune. And you get the message. And Michael Jordan, actually, he sent a message to Russell basically saying that, hey, congratulations, Russ, who is on Team Jordan, by the way. Congrats, Russ. I also won my very first MVP before winning an NBA championship. So very cool stuff from the GOAT. And very cool commercial. And I looked at the commercial. The animation is so cool that I'm like, man, what if Russ didn't win? That commercial would have, like, gone to waste, right? I mean, you can't put that out. And it's so detailed as well. But you can't put that out if Russ doesn't win. So whoever that artist is, I know he was sweating bullets as Adam Silver went up to that mic and then announced that the MVP was going to be Russell Westbrook. I'm shocked you didn't catch that yesterday, Isaac. Very cool stuff, man.
Yeah, I wish I would have, but you know, my LSU Tigers were on, so I had to watch them in the College World Series. But I was following along throughout the night. And first off, are we copping that name now for Russell Westbrook?
No,
Agent Zero, stealing that from Gilbert
Arenas?
That's
Gilbert Arenas,
okay,
but I just like saying it. So, no, that's definitely not Russell Westbrook's nickname for sure. I don't even know if Russ, does he even have a nickname?
I think he needs some nickname.
I like the one that my frat brother would always bring up, you know, back in the day, Russell Westcook. I like that a lot.
I like that a lot.
Love
what about something like Rolling Storm? Since he plays
Rolling
on
Storm.
The Thunder? That kind of fits, huh?
I like that, but that's kind of like too, like, John Wayne-ish.
Too poetic, yeah.
It's like too, you know, Rolling Storm. That didn't even suit his personality.
He's in Oklahoma, so maybe it can be a little John Wayne-ish.
That sounds
cowboy.
Like a team nickname. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That sounds
okay.
Like team. Well, we'll brainstorm. We'll talk.
Yeah.
We'll talk. But anyway, congratulations to Russell Westbrook. It was a fun night. A fun night last night in New York. And I didn't catch it until after it aired. Actually, this morning is when I caught up on everything that happened because I didn't know it was on. I totally forgot. I was actually sitting back. I kid you not, Isaac. I was on my couch, and I was glued to my television catching up on the Lakers and Celtics 30 for 30. I watched the last two parts of it last night, glued to my television. Riveting stuff, folks. If you have not seen the latest ESPN 30 for 30 documentary series centered on probably one of the greatest rivalries in sports, definitely the greatest rivalry in NBA history, the LA Lakers and Boston Celtics. Oh, it is absolutely fantastic. I watched it and I'm like, oh man, all right, well, it's getting kind of late. Let me go to the gym. And it wasn't until I got in the car and I turned on the radio and I heard, actually, who was it at the time? Oh, but I forget what radio host it was I was listening to, but they were talking about the awards and what had happened. I'm like, oh my goodness. I didn't even DVR it. So this morning I played catch up and I watched many of the speeches and many of the moments last night. And big shout out to Drake. That's why I ran that Drake instrumental one coming into the show. And do we have a snippet, actually, a compilation of who I believe is one of the most talented men that we have in the entertainment industry. Not only is he a musician, he sings, he raps, he's also an actor and part-time comedian, I guess, because I've seen the dude host SNL, knocked it out the park. I've seen him now host the NBA Awards, and he knocked it out the park last night. Here are a few of Drake's best moments from last night out in New York.
Kenny, somebody just told me about your writing joke backstage. It's wise words from the most expendable member of the TNT crew. Got the Brooklyn Nets in here trying to get verified on Instagram tonight. It's a lot of blue checks coming your way. Can we make some noise for James Harden, please? Legendary season, of course. I want to know. I want to know who's your favorite MVP in NBA history.
There are so many.
Okay, so we'll just wrap it there. Draymond Green stopped kicking people in the groin and moved on to something much worse, his own podcast. It's a tough listen. It's a tough listen. LeBron James recently went bald and social media had an absolute... Oh, sorry, this is a joke from 2007. We're going to keep it rolling. Paul Pierce retired this year. The truth. Make some noise for the truth.
Listen, after a clutch shot, okay, the crowd wants to see you shaking hands, right? Yeah. They want to know you're really friends. Best friends.
That's right. That's friends from the same neighborhood, okay? Starting today, if you score but your handshake sucks, we will trade you.
Absolutely.
Oh, many legendary moments. And again, you know what that second voice was in that compilation. That was actually Will Ferrell. They did you know how they do skits during these award shows. Well, Drake had one with Will Ferrell that was so funny. Will Ferrell, one of the funniest men to ever walk planet Earth. But they went on this thing about handshakes, you know, having the coolest handshake after you score. And he said, if you don't have a cool handshake after you score, you will be traded. And it was so funny. DeMar DeRozan was there and Drake was making fun of DeMar's nickname throughout the entire skit. And there was also a skit that actually piggybacked off of one of my favorite movies of the year, the movie Get Out. So funny. And it was a spoof actually in which Drake played Steph Curry sitting at home. He was watching one of the best hip-hop movies of all time in Belly, and he gets a call from his homie who's actually in the movie Get Out, and he plays Draymond Green. I don't want to spoil the skit. Check it out. Incredibly funny. But yeah, Drake, you know, did a great job last night as host. He took a shot at LeBron James's hairline, as you heard. He also poked fun at himself for being called a bandwagon fan. That was pretty funny. He poked fun at Paul Pierce retiring. He also poked a lot of fun at the Brooklyn Nets getting verified on Twitter. Also, he poked fun at the entire room of NBA players, saying that, hey, I'm in a room where pretty much all of you guys have hopped in the DMs of my ex-girlfriends. So then there was that awkward moment with Draymond Green. That was probably the most awkward moment of the show, to be honest, as Drake, you know, he pokes fun at Draymond Green, you know, in the podcast and everything. And, you know, Draymond gives like this awkward interview. And then they're supposed to go to the stage, but then a technical malfunction happens, and Drake has to, like, buy some time. So he brings Draymond back out of his seat, and there's, like, this just a really awkward moment. That was probably the most awkward moment of the night. I thought Drake handled it pretty well, though. But a fun night all around. For me, though, probably my favorite moment had to be, despite, you know, I would say probably Russell Westbrook's speech was second. Watching Drake do his thing was third, but clearly number one for me had to be the emotional moment of Monty Williams receiving the Sager Strong Award. I don't know if many of you guys know this, but while as an assistant coach for the Oklahoma City Thunder, Coach Williams actually lost his wife, Ingrid, in a car crash in Oklahoma City. And if you guys remember, he delivered a really compassionate eulogy at her funeral. And yesterday, the NBA community recognized Williams with the Sager Strong Courage Award. And Ernie Johnson welcomed Williams to the stage, a really heartfelt introduction. It was a really cool video tribute that aired. And Monty, just to see his strength up there, and as the camera panned to his kids, who held it up as best as they could, it looked like his youngest son, he couldn't hold it in. I mean, he just broke down in tears. But Monty Williams, a man of so much strength, to lose the love of his wife and to handle himself with the composure that he has and with the faith. That's the big thing that stood out to me with Monty Williams. He is a man of faith, grounded in faith, to go up there and deliver those words. Very powerful stuff. But let's go down the awards, shall we? Isaac, I had no gripe with him, to be honest with you, dude. You know, if you look at the MVP, could have gone either way. We debated this countless times, and I said that this probably should have been the first year If there was any year where you could really argue this, this is probably the first year that you can argue that you need co-MVPs. Russell Westbrook, though, I mean, averaging 31.6 points per game, 10.6 rebounds per game, 10.4 assists per game, the first player since the Big O and Oscar Robertson to average a triple-double for the season. I had no gripes or qualms with Russell Westbrook winning the most valuable player.
No, me neither. And the thing is, you and I both also brought up this dialogue of maybe chasing triple-doubles, which he did. I mean, let's be real. He definitely wanted that record over Oscar Robertson. And what made Robertson's accomplishments so phenomenal, so famous, is the fact that they didn't even count triple-doubles back in those days. He just did it. I mean, he just went out there and was that good. Now, the thing with Russ, though, that impressed me, and the reason he would have had my vote just narrowly over James Harden, is because the second half of the season, the Thunder came alive. That rolling storm started to pick up a little bit of speed, get a little bit of momentum going forward into the playoffs. And that was not a team with that much help. Russell Westbrook really carried the Thunder. So you couldn't have gone wrong with either of those guys. I was happy to see that it was a close race because it merited that. I was happy to see that not too many people got swept up in the Russell Westbrook mania. But at the same time, he was the winner. He was the real MVP that night.
Yeah, again, he received 69 first place votes. This is how the order panned out. Russell Westbrook 1, James Harden 2. He received 22 first place votes. Kawhi Leonard with 9 first place votes. LeBron James with 1. Then you had Isaiah Thomas and Steph Curry finishing last. Draymond Green, my oh my, how far this kid from Sag Nasty has come. Mm-mm. Former Michigan State basketball star who was drafted late in the second round, turning into really an ugly duckling. I tell you what, he's a swine now. He was an ugly duckling. Now he is really a swine. It's unbelievable to see the career of Draymond Green transform into this underrated chip on the shoulder guy, to a guy who is one of the premier names in the National Basketball Association right now. He won the Defensive Player of the Year. It was actually given to him by Kevin Garnett and Chadwick Boseman, who was actually playing Black Panther, who I'm a big fan of. I'm a big fan of the superhero Black Panther, but in Marvel's latest movie, Chadwick Boseman gave them the award as well. And Draymond went up there and thanked his family. Gave a shout out to his kids, his two kids. He has a son and daughter, and also his team as well. But Draymond Green, I mean, this dude can guard every player on the court. It's amazing. Isaac, I always think now to that video that you shared with me, I believe a few weeks back now, mm-hmm. in which there's a compilation of somebody. I don't even know who was breaking it down, but some
SB
reporter.
SB Nation was the site. Yeah.
Yeah, SB Nation breaking down how Draymond Green defends. And this is a dude who constantly has his head on a swivel. He plays textbook help defense while also knowing where his man is. He constantly knows where the ball is. He just knows his role, to steal a line from Dwayne Johnson in The Rock back in the day, right? Draymond Green is a guy who came into the league, and it's so fascinating to see how Draymond has become this player. It all began with Draymond coming off the bench and doing the little things. Doing the things that aren't sexy, becoming that garbage man, getting the rebounds, guarding everyone and anyone, that hustle player, that emotional ball of energy. And I think that's a great message to a lot of young kids out there. You don't have to be the premier scorer every time. You don't have to be the guy all the time. If you're on the court and you do the little things, you will find success in this thing we call basketball. And Draymond Green is now the poster child of that very thing.
And that's exactly how his path at MSU went as well. It's not as if Draymond came in and instantly was adorned as one of this top players in the nation or anything like that. Draymond came in, was scrappy, got a little more playing time, then a little more playing time, then a little bit more, and then he burst onto the scene. Even then, though, you know what? He didn't have the size or he didn't have the length or the athleticism to be an NBA star. Look at him now. Draymond, what I love about him defensively is he's what I call a Geronimo player. Mm. He runs around the court, but not in any sort of chaos. It's all orchestrated, and he guards everybody. He's on the defensive side of the ball, he guards 5 men of possession, because not only is he an anchor down low at only 6'7", he's a defensive anchor. That's Ben Wallace-esque. But then he can go out to the guard position and guard Shoot, Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, if any of those guys were on the other side of him, Draymond would be just fine because he has the length, but he also has the fundamentals and the grittiness and the understanding of the game to know that if you go behind, know how to stay close. If you're in front, don't give them the path to the basket. Draymond just knows how to play defense.
And Draymond Green, a part of a team that has now won two championships in the last 3 years, and I guess he stole a page from his former coach in Tom Izzo. He was the number one recruiter of Kevin Durant, with bringing KD to this already, was already a powerhouse of a team, but bringing KD to be that final ingredient to now a powerhouse that everybody is chasing in the NBA. Coach of the Year, Mike D'Antoni of the Houston Rockets. I loved his speech. He took a shot at the media in New York. He was fired from the Knicks, if you remember, and he says, how ironic is it that I'm sitting up here thanking the media of New York and the city of New York? Pretty funny stuff there. Most improved player, Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. The NBA Sixth Man Award, Eric Gordon of the Houston Rockets. Also looking here, Executive of the Year was Bob Myers of the Golden State Warriors. No surprise there. The time, and I don't even know they gave away this award, Isaac, but the Tymon Stokes Teammate of the Year was Dirk Nowitzki, your boy from the Dallas Mavericks. Very cool there. And Dirk has always been a man of high class in the league, and I'm not surprised that he did get that award. Also, another one of my favorite moments before we hit this first break was the Lifetime Achievement Award that was given to Mr. Bill Russell from the Boston Celtics, who was also profiled, of course, in that 30 for 30 documentary three-part series, Isaac. And it was so cool because Bill reminds me so much of my late Uncle Richard, dude. It is so eerie when I see him up there. But anyway, Bill goes up there. You know, he's like 80-plus years old. He goes up there, and he's being honored by guys like Shaq, the Admiral David Robinson, Mr. No-No-No, and Dikembe Mutombo. I forget who. Alonzo Mourning was also up there. But all these guys are up there, these great NBA big men of the league's past. And, again, they all pay homage to Bill Russell, who is one of the greatest to ever play. And Bill goes up there. And, you know, he's kind of slow. And all of a sudden, you know, he gets the award. He's shaking hands. He's like, Mutombo, Shaq, David. He's pointing out everybody. And, you know, he stops for a minute. You're like, all right, Bill, you're going to get to your speech? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was also up there. I have to acknowledge Kareem. Kareem shuffles over and gives Bill his cane. And Bill, really slowly, just kind of points to him. He's like, all right, you. And you. This is how I imagine he was whispering to him. He's like, you. You and you and you. And then he slowly starts and it stops and says, I'll kick your blank. And you know what he says. He didn't say blank, but you know what he said when he said that. And everybody dies laughing. And I love how they go to Russell Westbrook, because I think he's the ultimate competitor in the league. Russell Westbrook is dying laughing when Bill Russell says this. But that was one of my favorite moments. Bill Russell, even though he's 80 plus years old, he is still the same competitive player that he was back in the 60s, Isaac.
And on a serious note, there could not be a more deserving basketball player in the history of the game
for
that award. Bill Russell, classic charity case with the Boston Celtics, coming out the second overall pick in the draft. Then he went on to win 11 championships, 2 as a player coach. More importantly, though, resolving racial tension in Boston while on the court and going on to be an advocate for youth in America and just inspiring people to learn through basketball how to really just get along. I mean, Bill Russell was my first favorite player as a little kid. That's how I became a basketball fan, because number 6 from West Monroe, Louisiana,
yeah.
I love Bill Russell. And that's the guy.
If you didn't know, Isaac is 50 years old. That's why he loves Bill.
Yeah, exactly. I'd have to be older than 50.
Yeah, you're right. That's so true. And you know what? Isaac is such an old soul when it comes. That's called knowing your history. Isaac, you do your homework and you know your history, my man. And big shout out to Red Auerbach, who took that shot on picking up black players to the Boston Celtics. And the documentary also profiles that. But Red Auerbach stepping back and saying, you know what? Bill Russell is our next coach to be a player coach at that. Remarkable part in that documentary. You got to check out the latest 30 for 30, folks. It is great. All right. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk to a legend when it comes to Michigan State sports. His name is Bob Apiza. He is a 2-time All-American fullback for the championship-winning 65-66 MSU football team, who will be inducted into the MSU Athletics Hall of Fame in September. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we are taking your calls. We're reading your comments. If you want to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, or go to facebook.com/currentsports, or tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. Taking your calls and comments throughout this entire hour. Before we bring on our guest for today's Current Sports, I do want to read one comment here. This comes from one of our dear listeners, Mr. Ben Grimes. What's up, Al? What's up, Ben? Draymond Green, a.k.a. Day-Day, wins the DPOY Award for the 2016-17 NBA year. Well-deserved in my mind. He also goes on to say Russell Westbrook deserved the MVP award hands down. I totally agree with both of those statements. Thank you so much, Ben. Let's go to line one right now. We have one of our dear friends calling, Jason Ruff, that wants to comment on Draymond Day-Day Green. Jason, what's up, dude?
Hey, Al. It is about time that the NBA gives Day-Day his due. You know, he has said he has been one of the best defensive players the last 3 years in the league.
Preach on.
You know, even though, you know, he had the little crybaby from Cleveland crying because he got hit in the nuts. You know, he didn't grow up playing backyard basketball like they do in Sag Nasty, you know.
I hear you.
So Day-Day was playing his game. That's just the Sag Nasty game. That's how it goes.
Right.
You know, but the fact that Day-Day finally is getting the recognition he deserves, it's one of the great things. I can't wait to see him when he comes back here to MSU out to the Sparty statue with the trophy. I'm almost positive he'll have his Defensive Player of the Year award with him also, you know, because it is something to see a Spartan go up there as he wasn't a highly touted recruit, as you said, you know,
right.
But he was a highly touted in-state recruit. And, you know, lucky for us, Izzo got him, brought him to MSU, developed him into the player he is that gives him the tenacity that he has playing in the Big Ten. With the competition that we had when Day-Day was here, you know, a lot of the teams did have big men, and Day-Day was the one to stick it to them.
Right.
You know, because Day-Day was the only one that had the tenacity, and like you said, his head's on a swivel, he's the one who could do it.
And again, I want to make a correction, too. This is Jason Fuller, not Jason Ruff. I read that wrong. My man Jason Fuller, he's always a dear friend of ours, and I'm looking forward to playing golf with this man as well in a charity golf outing later on this year. But, Jason, you nailed it, dude. And I have to ask you just one question before we get you out of here, Jason. What type of example do you think Draymond Green now sends to young players across this nation looking to try and make that NBA dream come true? What example does he set now?
Well, I think Day-Day is actually setting the example of a kid that came from a lower blue-collar family
right.
up there in Saginaw, okay? And Day-Day wasn't the greatest basketball player growing up, going through middle school and stuff, because I had seen him come out to Aim High with a couple teams.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't the greatest player, but he just stuck to his guns, stuck with what he knew, got the leadership and everything that he took from Coach Izzo and Garland and the rest of the staff. And then he has turned that into I definitely see Day-Day being a coach, and I think Day-Day will definitely be able to reach out to the younger kids, Flint, Saginaw, Detroit, and whatnot, and show them what it means to really come from basically nothing, you know, because you were the lower middle class.
Mm-hmm.
You basically come from nothing, and if you stick to your guns, you stick to your education, and you commit yourself to what you actually can achieve. Day-Day is going to be a great coach in the future. He's going to be a great mentor for any young players that he pulls under his wing. I think it's going to be a great thing. Same thing that Coach Izzo did to him when he came out to MSU.
Jason, very well said, my friend. Thank you so much for the call.
All right, brother. Have a great one.
You too. Again, folks, if you want to weigh in, just like my man Jason just did, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's current sports. And he is truly a legend when talking about MSU athletics, folks. His name is Bob Apiza. And this September, he actually will be inducted part of the 2017 Michigan State Athletics Hall of Fame class. He's a two-time All-American fullback for the championship-winning 1965-66 MSU football team. And it is an absolute honor to have him a part of our show today. Bob, how you doing, my man?
I'm fine, thank you. Good afternoon there, Al, and good afternoon to everybody in the state of Michigan.
Bob, I first want to tackle this thing by talking about the honor. Bob, where were you when you got the call? Who was around you, and what was your reaction when you found out that you would be a member of the MSU Athletics Hall of Fame?
Well, I was very emotional. I was about to leave the house to go to the gym and do a little workout. But my wife picked up the phone and came in the front, and I noticed that it was from Mark Hollis. And he gave me everything, the whole spiel, and I had tears in my eyes because for the first time in 25 years since the inaugural of the first class, and 20 years later, Clint Jones went in, I completed that picture 25 years later. But that being said, there are hundreds and thousands of football players, basketball players, swimmers, gymnasts, women, including women, since Title IX in the early 70s. And I'm looking forward to meeting Kristen, along with Bob, along with Clarence. But the point I'm making is, and Joe Baum, the point I'm making is, it hit me. It hit me because here's a guy that came into Michigan State fold 13 years after arriving from American Samoa, not being able to speak English, never seeing electricity. So that being said, it's been an upward climb for me, but I'm glad that I'm representing the boys from Hawaii as well as my teammates as I enter the hall.
And Bob, as you mentioned, you will go into the hall with a very stout class that includes Joe Baum, soccer, Bob Castleman, track and field, Kristen Haney, who we actually just saw last year go into the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. She was a fantastic basketball player. And also Dr. Clarence Underwood, a member of MSU administration. Bob, I love asking this question as well when discussing the Hall of Fame. Bob, what is a Hall of Famer in your estimation? How do you define what a Hall of Famer is?
Well, I define it as the cream of the crop. We're a select few. You have to remember, in 25 years and beyond that, you have since the inception of Michigan State, all the athletes that have been there, we only have 139 inductees, so that tells you something, how special it is. But the beat of 140th all the way up, I'm honored. I'm privileged, and I feel great about that.
Out of your accomplishments, Bob, what do you think stands out the most when making your case for this honor?
Well, I think the thing that stands out the most is I was able to be the leading scorer for the team as an underclassman. You had five two-time All-Americans, Bubba Smith, George Webster, Clint Jones, and Gene Washington. I'm the only underclassman, but we all earned two-time All-Americans. But that being said, I just want to make sure that it took a concerted effort by the rest of my 65-66 team. Without them, we wouldn't be standing on that photo. Without them, anybody could supplant where we're standing. So it's a great honor to enter the hall, but I know in my heart, I'm representing them as I go into the hall.
Bob, I remember when we had you on last year. You happened to be in town promoting your documentary, Men of Sparta, which you actually gave me a copy of, and I watched it that week, and I was my mind was kind of blown as to what that team was able to do and the impact that it had not only on Michigan State athletics but on college sports and sports as a whole across this nation. And you know what? When we had you on, something that always stood out to me during that conversation, Bob, is that you always reminded me throughout that chat when discussing your own accomplishments to remember those who have sadly passed away from that team, that era, your teammates that played on that 65-66 championship team. How much have they been on your mind since you received the news that you will be going into the Hall?
Very much. Very much. With Bubba Smith and George Webster and Harold Lucas and Mad Dog Thornhill and Don Jappinga and Maurice Haynes, you name them, and Tony Connie. Quite a few people have passed on through attrition, but through diseases or whatever it may be. But God love them. They're in a better place. And for those of us who are still standing here to enter the Hall, reminiscent of knowing that they were being a part of that, that's big time. You're talking about kids from Hawaii, the Jim Nicholsons, the Carter Kamanas, the Doug Wands, the so forth, on down the line, Kaleanes. But the fact is, it's not so much where you come from, is what you do at Michigan State when you come up there. And we came up there with a mission. I remember my freshman year, we ended up with a 4-5 record, a losing record. And we ended up ranked 20th in the country. That told you that the sports writers knew something was coming up, meaning I was now eligible to play as a sophomore the following year because we couldn't play as freshmen. And the junior and the senior years with Robert Biney and Ron Gubert and Don Beerwitz and so forth down the line, they were there. They offered the leadership with Steve Judy. Jimmy Ray is someone that needs to be in the Hall of Fame. The first African-American ball player from the South to lead a team as a quarterback. And he has so many different accolades that he has shown the people who are in the Hall. But that being said, he will have his time. And I spoke to Jimmy, and most of my teammates will be at the induction speech. So I'm looking forward to it.
And again, that induction will take place in September. Bob Apiza is on our phone line right now. We are chatting with Bob Apiza, a member of the 1965-66 National Championship MSU football team. He will be inducted into the MSU Athletics Hall of Fame in just a few months. And you know what, Bob? You were a three-year letter winner from 65 to 67. You garnered first-team All-America accolades as a sophomore in 65 by Football News and repeated as a first-team All-American in 66 by both the Football News and New York News. Did you have any inclination when you first walked on the campus here in East Lansing at Michigan State University that you would have that kind of an impact that early?
No, I didn't. But I was privileged to be in the same backfield as the Clinton Jones and the Dwight Lees and the Jimmy Rays and the Steve Judays and people like that of notoriety. And frankly, I'm a fullback. And a fullback in that system, you're Clydesdale. You're going up against thoroughbreds, okay?
Yeah.
So I had to increase my speed in order for me to break tackles and do my job. But we all had a job to do. We all knew it. We came from the South. We came from the North. We came from the East. We came from the West. And we came from Hawaii. But we all congregated, and Duffy saw talent. He didn't see color. He saw talent. And because of the fact that we were one of the very first ball squads to bring in 22 African-Americans, Bear Bryant never had anybody. Notre Dame, under Eric Parsegian, when we played the 10-10 tie, only had one minority in the team. and about 23 in the entire enrollment. So that speaks volumes. But time has passed. We've accomplished a lot in 50 years, but we've got a lot to go to accomplish as far as social justice is concerned.
You can say that again. Preach on, Bob. Do you feel like you are a pioneer for other athletes coming out of Honolulu, Hawaii, who want to make their dreams come true like you did?
Yes. Yes, I think the people from Hawaii coming up, I have a grandson who's playing over in Las Vegas, and he's highly recruited by Michigan State and several schools. Jacob Pulu, Apisa Isaiah, he plays for Bishop Gorman, which took three mythical national championships in a row. But that being said, I mean, Jacob is a good kid. He's a big boy, but he has a great head on his shoulders. He can think for himself. And he's not looking at athletically, but he's looking at what happens after life, after the NFL years, that kind of stuff.
And you said Jacob is in Las Vegas, Bob?
Yes, yes. He plays for Bishop Gorman, the number one school in the country.
And what year is he?
He'll be a senior.
He'll be a senior this upcoming year. And in what position?
He's an offense tackle, and he's about just below 6'4", and he's pretty strong. There's not an ounce of fat on him. He's about 280, 285.
Wow.
Fuck up a little bit. And he carries between a 3'5", 3'7", grade point average. So any and all schools, including the Ivy League schools, have recruited him. So I'm blessed to have a grandson like that. But he's a mild-mannered kid. If you see him, if you talk to him, it's all yes or no, sir. Just mild-mannered.
He comes from a great family, Bob. I'm not surprised. How much would that mean to you if he was to come here at Michigan State and play?
I mean a lot. I mean a great deal. Matter of fact, he'll be coming up for the induction on the 29th.
Right.
He plays DeMartha. They play DeMartha or someone of a great caliber of school on the 28th. Mm-hmm. So he's missing that game, but he's flying up after that for the 29th and 30th.
Love that. Bob, what do you have planned for your speech? Have you thought about it yet?
You know what? I'm tickled and I'm privileged. But the fact of the matter is we've got other great athletes coming aboard. And I think of and those that preceded us to the Hall of Fame, we would like for them, with great humility, to accept us, whatever goods and whatever we can bring to them to contribute to their personal legacies. But I do know that I am just floorboarded, and I'm looking forward to the event very much.
Joe Baum, Bob Castleman, Kristen Haney, Dr. Clarence Underwood. Have you talked to any of those individuals after getting the call from Mark Hollis that you will be a part of that class? Have you talked to any of them yet, Bob?
Unfortunately, I don't have their numbers.
Right.
But I want to congratulate every single one of them. I know they're worthy of that choice, and I'm just happy to be coming along with their coattails of those entrants. So happy.
Final question for you, Bob. What advice would you give this year's MSU football team and head coach Mark D'Antonio, coming off a 3-9 season, dealing with the off-the-field sexual assault charges that have brought about a dark cloud over the program? What would you say to the young men who are doing it the right way on this roster, and also Coach D'Antonio, who is right now pulling his hair out trying to deal with all of this?
I'm a strong proponent of Coach Mark D'Antonio. I think he's going to get that ship righted. The program needed a little revision there. Okay, I mean if you become so enthused with the players coming in, and these players think that they are in endowed for that. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is the point. They need to do their jobs. They need to do their job and make sure that they contribute to the program. don't come in there with feeling that this is something that they're entitled to it, because we don't take entitlement. Okay, you have to earn that, and you have to be a team player. When we played, if a guy drank beer, everybody would be on his case. But nowadays, if somebody does something egregious, such as a sexual attack or something, they should be dismissed. And I honor that. I'm for that. I'm with Mark D'Antoni all the way on that. So he's done the right thing. He's cleaning house. But we will come back. We will come back. Michigan State always comes back. Remember, in 64, when I was a freshman, and we couldn't play, we ended up with a 4-5 record, and we were the 20th ranked team in the country. Look what happened the following 2 years. That speaks for itself.
Bob Apiza, two-time All-American fullback for the championship-winning 1965-66 MSU football team. He will be inducted into the Michigan State Athletics Hall of Fame this coming September. Bob, it has been a pleasure having you on our airwaves. Looking forward to seeing you in September when you come to, of course, accept that great honor.
Well, I look forward to it. And thank you very kindly for your support. And best to the people of the Wolverine State. Thank you.
Bob, thank you so much. All right, well, very strong words, very honest words, Isaac, coming from Bob Apiza when addressing what has taken place on the heels of last year, what has taken place this offseason when it comes to Coach Mark D'Antonio dealing with the sexual assault charges. Do you believe MSU will be back on track this upcoming football season?
No, not necessarily. I mean, you have to remember that this isn't just a team that's coming off of all of these allegations and scandals. This is a team coming off a 3-9 season, losing some big-name players who were either cut from the team or guys like Pete who would have came in and now have, you know, not decide not to go with the team anymore, you know, have had their offer rescinded. So, no, this is a football team that's got a lot of rebuilding to do. But like Bob, I tend to stay on the side of Mark D'Antonio amidst all of it. I think he's still going to find a way to eventually get this program to recover.
I think Mark is the man for the job. And the other Mark Hollis, is also the other man for the job to try and right the ship. All right, well, we are out of time. I tell you what, I promise you, we're going to get to this whole 2018 NBA draft projections for MSU players, because Isaac and I, we've been chatting about this whole Mello Trimble conversation. It fits very well into this conversation. So we'll table that for tomorrow. We'll also talk about Matthew Stafford being the only Detroit Lions player ranked in the top 100 ranking in the National Football League. That and more. Don't miss tomorrow's show, folks. It's going to be another hot one. We'll see you tomorrow. And as always, be easy, people.